Well, Mark, I'd like to introduce our newest sponsor to Informed Dissent, and that is the supplement company Smidge, S-M-I-D-G-E. What I like about Smidge, and I've been using their products for some time now, is they are family-owned, not pharma-owned, and all their supplements are made in small batches, which is why, by the way, from time to time, you will see that they are out of stock. There are three Smidge products that I personally take every single day. The first is, I think, the best zinc product on the market, and that is Oyster Zinc. It's great because it comes from an oyster and it's got all the cofactors necessary for absorption. I also take their morning magnesium and their evening magnesium. Those are the three Smidge products I take every single day.
I actually take the morning and the evening magnesium as well. And in addition to that, I've started to use some of their more exotic products, such as the Kakadu Plum Natural Whole Food Vitamin C, which is much better than ascorbic acid because of its better bioabsorbed in the body. They're all excellent, and I've recommended them to patients, and they love them.
If you go to the website, getsmidge.com, and enter code IDM, that's Informed Dissent Media, IDM, you will get a nice discount on all Smidge products. And be sure to say thank you in the comments. We love this company. We love their products, and we think you will as well.
Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics, with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist.
Hey, Mark, welcome back. Another great episode of Informed Dissent.
We are on a roll here with alternative medicine practitioners, which are
indeed, you know,
really, I think, just coming to the forefront. And I think we've got one more that'll be really great to listen to and provide a lot of great information for our listeners.
You know, holistic integrative health has really transformed my practice. And, you know, I'm lucky because I've got these letters after my name that give me instant credibility, even though up until recently, I really didn't know a lot about integrative holistic health, but I've learned so much. And the more I learn, the more I want to learn. And our next guest that we have on here, Dr. Calvin, is a chiropractor. And I actually met him locally because he practices locally in Costa Mesa. And I met him at a seminar that was put on by a supplement company called Designs for Health. I use a lot of their products. Great company. All their products come in glass bottles. And now we got him on our podcast. So Dr. Calvin, welcome to Informed Dissent.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
I love the name, Informed Dissent.
Yeah, you know, originally it was going to be Informed Consent. And then Mark came up with this idea or was talking to a friend and they said, Informed Consent, you should make it Informed Dissent. Because that's basically what we are doing. We are highlighting to people all the problems in the traditional medical system and we are dissenting from chaos and from tyranny and so forth, and really trying to educate people as to what's going on.
I have to actually give the credit where credit is due in this case to the editor of my two books, Adam Bellow of Bombardier Press, of Post Hill Press, who I was just chatting with about the podcast, and we were coming up with the idea of doing one, and we were having a conversation about my first book. I believe it was my first book. Could have been the second. It was one of my two books, either United States of Fear or Freedom from Fear. And he said, why informed consent? That's just too trite. How about informed dissent? And we both paused and I said, you know what, Adam? That is a damn good name. He's like, all right, well, just make sure you give me credit. I said, like, I will. So here I am today, 2-3 years later, giving him the credit. It wasn't me that came up with it. It was my editor, actually.
That's awesome. Well, it's ours now and trademarked and URL reserved and whatever. And I love the name. So Doc, tell us a little bit about your practice.
My practice is, well, like you mentioned at first, alternative care, which don't you just hate that? The word alternative. I remember being in school and it was just you know, when they said, oh, you're a chiropractor, so you practice alternative health. And I go, well, I mean, what we do shouldn't be alternative. It shouldn't be an alternative to, you know, anything. It should be just a service. It should just be part of it altogether. And so, but anyways, my practice, it's an integrative practice. We treat a lot of people with all sorts of different conditions. My philosophy has always been about treating the body individually. So I practice a technique called applied kinesiology, which in that technique, we examine the physical, biochemical, mental, emotional aspects of health. So really what we're trying to do is we're trying to follow that chiropractic philosophy that D.D. Palmer, the inventor of chiropractic, first set out, where he said the cause of disease is due to trauma, toxins, and thoughts, or auto-suggestion. Essentially, well, if you're not working out, if you're sitting on your butt all day, you're not going to be healthy. If you're not eating the right things, if you're not taking care of your health, if you're consuming toxins and exposed to toxins and have chronic infections, you're not going to be healthy. If you have terrible relationships with your friends, your wife, if you're lonely, if you haven't resolved some of those unresolved emotions, you're not going to be healthy. So essentially what we're trying to help people do is achieve optimal health and have a higher quality of life by treating them in a way that is congruent and aligns with nature, right? And there's going to be times where we're going to recommend like unnatural therapies. I don't even like to call it unnatural, but sort of the new therapies that are kind of coming out, and even pharmaceuticals and whatnot. We work with MDs, we work with naturopaths, we have naturopaths in the clinic, we have massage therapists and cranial sacral therapists, even holistic estheticians and acupuncturists. So we try to have everything under one roof because you never know what, you know, that person needs when they come through the door. And our philosophy of health is, you know, for me is don't leave any stone unturned, right?
Especially if they don't feel good.
Absolutely. Because for me, my biggest inspiration really came from my dad's journey. He had a liver transplant, but prior to having him getting a liver transplant, he was getting treated at UCSF and he had cirrhosis. That was the first diagnosis. He had a flu and then he got lab work and then they said, you have cirrhosis. I mean, there wasn't even like a fatty liver diagnosis. It was just, no, it was like flu, then cirrhosis. So that was a huge shock to us. And we're like, okay, great, doc, what's the treatment? You're either going to give him half your liver or we're going to wait until his MELD score gets high enough, which is when he gets sick enough so that he can qualify for a liver transplant. And I go, what kind of medicine is this?
Right.
Like, yeah. Like we're not going to consider how to heal his body. Like, can he
change his discussion diet? No discussion about, well, why is his liver inflamed? Like, how did that happen? Because it's not normal. What are the things going on in his life that could occur, that cause this to occur, and how can we correct it? We don't do that in allopathic medicine. No. Unfortunately, not many of us do that. I saw a patient yesterday, new to me, and he has young guys, 45, 50, he's got ankylosing spondylitis, and he's on Humira, a biologic agent for that. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I hope it's working. It's not really this, that, and the other. Has anybody asked the question, why did your body react this way, creating these autoantibodies and attacking your own joints? Has anybody talked to you about what might be going on that this occurred? No, they just keep talking about drugs to try to stop it and to try to make me feel better. And my fingers are swollen and this, that, and the other. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I said, listen, I don't know what the answer is, but we need to be asking that question. Are there toxins that you're coming in contact with? Something that's in your drinking water? Products that you're consuming? Exposures that you have? What's going on? Why is your body reacting this way? And we need to discover that. We need to detoxify your life. We need to figure out how you're eating. We need to look at mechanical care and other forms of therapy to use to heal you. And maybe you do need Humira and other drugs. I don't know. Maybe that's the only way we can treat you to get you feeling better. Maybe. And we'll keep that in our back pocket. But in the meantime, let's go on a little exploration and see if we can figure out what's going on with your body, because it's not normal for a body to attack itself. Same thing with blood pressure. A patient just today, she's got hypertension and it's not controlled. And she came in, it's my partner's patient. And she says, I think I need more medication. And I said, yeah, maybe you do. But why do you have high blood pressure? What do you mean? Go, what do you mean? What do I mean? It's not normal to have high blood pressure. It's not the baseline. High blood pressure is not a normal thing. It's your body is reacting to something. There's a reason why your blood pressure is high. I may not be able to figure it out. Maybe you do need more medicine. And I'm not opposed to that if we can't otherwise treat you. But here's been my experience. You know, is your adrenal gland shot? Do you have the MTHFR mutation? And that's why, and you need some supplements, so you need to change your diet. Did you have some injury? Do you have a mechanical problem where your nerves that feed the various organs are being impinged? And that's why your blood pressure is high. I said, I don't know. I have no idea. But if you want just more medication, it's fine. I'll write you a prescription. But I don't think that's the approach you should take. We should look at the why behind it and see if we can get you taking less medication, not more medication. And unfortunately, probably less so from Mark's perspective, because he's a psychiatrist. So he's much more in tune with mental health and how mental thinking and illness can affect the rest of the body. But for the average schmo primary care doctor, they're not trained to do this. They're trained in the traditional disease model of medicine. If you have a symptom, if you have an illness, I just need to find the right drug that you're deficient in to treat that illness. And I've become friends with a lot of chiropractors, naturopaths, holistic medical providers, acupuncturists, and people that look at health through a very different lens like you do, Doc. And, you know, I admire what you do and I wish I was better at it. And I'm getting better at it because I think that's the path forward. You say, you know, use unusual or alternative treatments. Those should be the normative treatment, and they were 150 years ago. It's only since medical schools became the all-encompassing, all-knowing Rockefeller system of treating patients, and chiropractors were described in the media and by very powerful forces as being quacks. Did we end up in this path where right now, today, 2024, in the United States of America, 60% of our population has at least one chronic illness, 30% of our children are obese, 40% of our population have two or more chronic illnesses, but I'm the quack in trying to offer alternative care than the traditional care. Anyway, sorry, I went on a rant, but
no, great.
That's how I'm feeling.
I tell people that, look, if Western medicine or mainstream medicine, or even what some people call it centralized medicine, if that is a picture of health, find me somebody who is deeply following that protocol and tell me if they represent a healthy person or not. Or Right. Are we going to look at the people who are doing the weird, you know, go to acupuncture, work out, you know, do fasting, eat a certain way. Maybe they might do some cleanses. You go to their home and they got like water filters and they got air purifiers, right? And they're like, oh, I'm not going to touch that tap water. They take their supplements, right? And you like people might think, oh, that's kind of like the weird person. But most often you're going to look at that person and go, yeah, they're the picture of health.
That's the normie. We should normalize that, Mark, not normalize what we've been doing for the last 50 years.
Oh, it's terrible, right? And when I look at what's happening with, like when I looked at when my dad was at UCSF getting treated at the liver transplant team, it was astonishing. It was, I mean, I just kind of go, why would you not look at these lifestyle factors? I mean, even if he has end-stage liver disease, but why would we not talk about nutrition and stress? I mean, no one talked about stress. Because here's the thing, the most often people asked, almost every practitioner said, how much alcohol does he drink? I go, in a week, three glasses of wine. And when I mean glasses, I mean like a quarter of it. He might have a beer once in a while. Okay, so he's not a drinker. Well, what's his diet like? It must be really bad. My mom is a health nut. In our family, she's like the biggest health nut. She is super anal about everything, cooking things with clean oils, right? Shopping from, she was on the organic train before anybody knew about organic. And so, and he ate everything that my mom cooked. So it wasn't a diet thing. It wasn't a alcohol thing, but he ran his own business. And he told me, I still remember when I was a little kid, every day he would say, I can't sleep. I was like, why? You just close your eyes and then you can go to sleep. And he's just like, well, I got a lot to think about. I'm like, what's there to think about? He's like, I got to worry about my employees and my business and how to make money and all these things that you don't have to worry about. And I didn't have a concept of that, right? But I knew that this guy was stressed out. He didn't sleep, right? He was always worrying about something. And he always was working. When he came home, he was working, doing paperwork when he was, and he would go to sleep and then he would wake up and he would be on job sites and do construction. So, you know, talk about the mental, emotional side of things. You know, I really believe that that's what really drove his system to crash and ultimately led to a liver failure. And then he had sepsis, which then like had multiple organ failure. I got to watch that whole thing. But ultimately, he did actually get sick enough where he was at the top of the list, got a liver transplant, and by the grace of God, somehow reversed, like somehow his health or his body started coming back. And then, you know, and he thrived. He started living. So, and he's alive today and he's thriving, which is wow. Amazing.
That's great.
It's crazy. So I'm thankful for Western medicine. Yeah. I am. You know, I tell people, I'm like, look, I'm not against Western medicine. I'm not against medication or anything at all. I think, you know, there's some awesome work that they're doing there. And it saved my dad's life for sure. What I'm saying is to look at, what if we had a different philosophy? What if his primary care doctor cared about something else? It educated him about something else, going like, hey, you know what? We're going to run labs regularly, at least every year. And we're going to look at all these biomarkers. And then I'm going to explain to you and educate you what this all means. And instead of waiting for something to happen, we're going to try to correct it. Or if nothing needs to be corrected, we're going to try to enhance it and optimize your health to prevent you from going into liver failure, right? So that's what really drove me into the profession that I'm in, is I go, hey, if you want to run along with me, then we're going to do it, right? We're going to talk about how to optimize health and live in a healthy way. And I tell people, I'm not treating any type of disease. I'm not treating a diagnosis. What I'm looking for is how your body is functioning. And if you're not functioning well, then we got to get it functioning well, because a healthy well-functioning body is going to have absence of disease. That's really the universal truth.
I agree. A well-functioning body is going to have absence of disease. And Mark, I know you've seen this, the role that stress and mental health challenges can play in creating bodily dysfunction and illness.
I see patients every day that are asking me far more than they used to just 2 or 3 years ago for non-pharmacologic and non-procedurally based interventions to help them manage what they can consider or assume to be a physical illness that is caused by some form of emotional dysregulation or stress. I never used to hear about that. I was always the one arguing for it. And sometimes they would listen. Sometimes they would just argue with me. And now they're coming to me and asking for it. And if I preempt it by telling them what my philosophy is, more often than not, they are relieved because they are sitting there anxiously awaiting the time that they're going to have to fight me because every other person they've talked to has said, oh, well, here's some pills that'll help you. And then they have to say, but, and then doctors say, sorry, got to go. So they're waiting for that moment to come and attack. And I let them know in advance, you know, maybe medication will help, but before we get to that, why don't we go through sleep, diet, and exercise? Why don't we look at supplements? Like you were saying, Calvin, I asked them right up front, when was the last time you had labs done? And I don't mean kidney function and hemoglobin and all of these labs that virtually nobody needs. How about the basic ones that no one gets, but everybody needs? Like, how about vitamin D level? Mm-hmm. How many primary care doctors ever perform vitamin D levels? Almost never, but they always do kidney function. Who needs kidney function tests? Virtually nobody.
Right.
But vitamin D, how about omega-3 markers? How about EPA? How about DHA? How about magnesium? How about vitamin B? B as in boy, the 6, 9, 12. How about folate? How about thiamine? Nobody puts these tests out. You know, the only patient that I've ever had that had these tests done, interestingly, was a patient that had a bowel reconstruction surgery. She had, I don't know if it was a gastric bypass or a fundoplasty or an esophageal restrictor put in, but ever since she had that procedure, she gets all those labs every 3 or 4 months, which gives us great data to see how she's doing biochemically and nutritionally. And it's very easy for me to treat her, but no other patient gets that done because, as you said, they all want to go to see a doctor when they get sick. And I think the reason systemically why this is the case is because all of our healthcare dollars are directed towards fixing problems mm-hmm. and solving disease models and paying surgeons and other people that do procedures to fix body injuries. What if we had a fundamental monetary incentive to support preventive care and measuring, as you said, markers of health? If we did that, I think people would start to get on board with this system much faster than they have been in the past.
And I think it's changing, right? We do see a wave of people, like you said, people coming in and asking for, you know, the natural ways of doing things, or you know, people will come in and go, I don't want another pill, or I don't want to do the surgery. And I think people do have even some PTSD about that too, right? Because they've been to so many practitioners and specialists and ologists where they're just like, well, that didn't help me. And in fact, I got put on all these medications and then there were side effects, and then they changed my medication and I have further side effects. And then it just seemed like it was never really getting better. So, and patients pick up on this, right? They know that this is what's happening. What's unfortunate is that in the mainstream, in the public health model, does not support that, right? In the public health model, you know what is supported? Oh, let's get you your COVID vaccine, right? The reason why you're sick, right? I've had so many parents who come in and they would go, my kid had a stomach ache, and it was really bad. They had diarrhea, they were vomiting, they looked blue. They went to the ER, and the first thing that they want to do is, did you get your COVID vaccine? Like, we got to get your kid vaccinated. And it's like, hold on. we have.
Did you ask him if he's been eating Cheetos for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? No, that's totally irrelevant. He needs to get that mRNA injection because that's the problem. And meanwhile, his mouth and fingers are covered with, you know, flaming orange radioactive material. That's totally irrelevant to his diarrhea.
Now, flaming hot Cheetos happen to be delicious.
They're a take a well with good and plenty.
It's so crazy. I mean, it's and to the point now where it is backwards, right? We see all these memes online going like, hey, if you just truly want to be healthy, just do 180, you know, degrees of what mainstream medicine says or what the government tells you, right? It's ridiculous.
Exactly. You know, we met at this Designs for Health conference and we were talking amongst other things about the treatment of SIBO, S-I-B-O, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. Recently, Mark and I interviewed this lady, Mrs. Rogers.Hood, Mrs. MRS Rogers.Hood, and she goes by the handle The Worm Queen.
Yeah.
And her focus is on parasites, and I'm learning more and more about parasites. She sent me a natural parasite detox kit. Mark started his. I haven't started mine yet.
He's scared.
Exactly. She described this fulvic something soak of her feet, and she and her husband did this, and she had worms crawling out of the soles of her feet. And you go and poop, and you look in the toilet, and there's friggin' parasites there. I'm like, oh God, I don't know if I can handle that, but I will start it at some point. Do you have any experience with parasite cleanses, Calvin?
Absolutely. I mean, I've dived deep into the parasite hole. I've written an ebook about parasites, and it's phenomenal, the amount of data out there about parasites. Yet it seems like it's just denied in Western medicine, it seems like, because I've had countless patients that would come in and say, well, you know, I've spoken to my primary care about this, or, you know, my gastroenterologist, and they don't think that's the case. And I go, what do you mean? So I had this one case where this kid, teenager, high school star athlete, playing football, goes to camp out in Big Bear, swims in a lake, immediately gets sick, vomiting, diarrhea, everything, goes to the ER, and they diagnose him with gastritis and celiacs. And I go, nobody looked into possibly having a pathogenic infection like parasites. You swam in a lake. I mean, that was a key thing in your history. And it's just this, it seems like in our Western culture in the US, right? We think that, oh, everything's sterile, everything's clean. Why would you get parasites? But the moment you cross the border down south to Mexico, right? It's a known thing. You're like, oh yeah, regularly. Yeah, we have like worms coming out of our butts. We take this medication called ivermectin or albendazole or pyrantel. And then like, you know, worms come out of our butt. And it's this known thing in different countries, in these like quote unquote third world countries, but
we're too proper and sterile here.
Yeah. We sit on a toilet.
Yeah, man. No parasites mess with Americans.
Right. But if we look at the WHO, right, which
maybe that's actually what's wrong with President Biden, is he has parasites.
Oh my gosh. It would be hilarious if a CNN article is like, turns out Biden had a parasite in his brain that was impairing his ability to think
cognitively. Now he's perfectly cogent again.
Right. This horse paste that was given to Joe Rogan. Joe Biden. He's coherent now.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be hilarious. But, you know,
what do you, this lady, Kim Rogers, who has seemed very smart and learned, and she thinks, and she may be right, that everybody should do a parasite cleanse from time to time. And absolutely, she thought like a couple, three times a year, you should do a parasite cleanse. Because we eat sushi, we walk on the beach, we eat this food and that food, we have pets that lick our face, and we should just from time to time detoxify ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, if we look at the research data from like vector-borne illnesses and, you know, pathogenic articles, we can see that parasites are linked with so many things, heart disease, cancer. I mean, these are big things. I mean, the leading causes of death in the US, in the world, are linked to parasites. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to be, you know, jumping on a parasite cleanse tomorrow, but I would agree with her in that I think twice a year we should be doing this. In a lot of different cultures, they would actually have herbs and certain things that they would do built in, right? So traditionally we use herbs. Like in Eastern medicine, there's plenty of herbs that have anti-parasitic properties. And this was part of their diet. You know, people would use herbs in like tea. They would use herbs in their cooking. They would just use it as medication. So this was built in before, and that's sort of how people kind of survived and treated themselves and whatnot. But as we kind of look at even pharmaceuticals, now, like I said, in some of these countries where they're just over-the-counter medication, you can just go into the store and buy it, like you buy, you know, Clorox wipes or something. So, you know, we really have to understand that, okay, there's these, you know, but we live in this environment where we live with these bugs, bacteria, fungus, parasites, protozoas, viruses, right? Whoever, and then nowadays it's like whoever knows if a virus is even real, they might be just DNA exosomes. But whatever, we live with this like biome. And when we look at what happens with the toxins that we have created, like pesticides, like plastics, pharmaceuticals, electromagnetic radiation, when we look at these chemicals and we apply it to an organism, we notice that there's microbiome changes, that there's something called pleomorphism, which is a microbe that was actually having a perfect synergistic relationship with you, right? Where it's surviving well in living in your body and you're getting benefits from it and it's getting benefit from you. But they then turn, when at the presence of a toxin, they turn pathogenic because they have to survive. I mean, think about it. If you use Clorox wipes, which is bleach, which is a toxin, if you go and you're declaring war on these microbes, we're forcing them to adapt, just like antibiotics, how it's about 85% effective, and that 15%, right, could create these super bugs or create like stronger biofilms, where now the infection is even more infectious, where they evade your immune system, and then now there's antibiotic resistance along with it. So we force these microbes to adapt. We're forcing them into a survival state. Now they become pathogenic and they're willing to, you know, they're drawing guns out and shooting everybody. And then now our immune system is shooting everybody too. And then now they're inside our bodies. No wonder we have autoimmune. I tell people, I go, autoimmune, does your body really attack itself or is it trying to attack something inside of yourself?
Yeah. What do you typically use for parasite cleanses?
I typically like to use the CellCore brand. I also use a Supreme Nutrition a lot too, but the herbs that I use the most, just to rattle off the top of my head, is neem, which is an herb that was used for thousands of years. Vedanga is another one that's heavily used in Ayurvedic medicine. Clove is another one. Black walnut is very common. Wormwood. And then you have Morinda, which is noni fruit, which is grows on the Polynesian islands. And then you got mimosa pudica seed, which is the one that gives you some of that like stringy, gooey. It's very gooey and sticky. So it goes in intestines, starts stripping a lot of the biofilms in your intestines. And it can grab, if there are parasites like tapeworms and whatnot there, or even flukes, it'll just grab onto those and eliminate it. I just had a lady today come in and showed me videos and photos of her cleanse. And what she did was so much came out. And what she did was she was like, I can't tell if this is just like, you know, from the supplement. So what I did was I just washed them. So she took like the stringy poop and she put it in her bathtub and started washing it, right? I got some wild patients. And she was like, yeah, I couldn't wash off, like I washed off the poop and then this is what it showed. And it was just like this weird, like gooey, like almost like a jellyfish like thing. I mean, kind of gross, but you can see that these parasites are, you know, they're huge. I forgot through in physiology, but like how long is our intestinal tract, right? And I think about that. I think it's like what, like yards or something, like a lot, it's just very long. So these things are just living in that microvilli and eating up all our nutrients, hijacking our immune system, secreting their own neurotransmitters like serotonin and messing with how we think and how we feel. And then also hijacking the liver to evade from our own immune system. I mean, these things are smart. These things are, they can survive. And I really believe that the more toxic we create our environment with electromagnetic radiation and these chemicals, the more that we're just forcing the biome, like these microbes, to be even more pathogenic, to we've declared war on it, essentially.
And yeah. Have any of your patients ever brought them in and had them sent to the lab to see what specific parasites they've found?
Not me specifically, but I've had colleagues of mine do that. And they would find that people would be passing out flukes, which are like trematodes. There's a nematode larvae in some of the stools. There would be like tapeworm or cestodes. The protozoa comes up often. And sometimes even in when people have like Lyme, like, you know, there's people who come in and they might have Lyme disease or been diagnosed with Lyme. A lot of times we find a lot of parasite infections that's actually underlying all that. And yeah, so people have sent these parasites or, you know, these stool things in their stool off to a lab and checked it out. And they do come back as being something. But there are some where it's not, like I said, the Mimosa pudica seed could be deceiving because on its own, it's already very stringy. So that could also be, you know, a false positive there. And ropeworms are another one, which are technically not parasites. And those can come out of people too. But a lot of kids will have like, what's the one? Pinworms. You know? Yeah, the little rice looking ones. And they'll use like Pyrantel, right, to treat that. And then we can see that in their stools. And there's people who've even had stuff come out of their sinuses, and, you know, they would do like nasal flushes with different herbs or different tinctures, or maybe even a pharmaceutical, and flush their sinuses and have stuff come out that would look like a parasite. I don't know if that's confirmed,
yeah,
but you're, probably.
Doc, you're making me want to go have a cocktail right now.
Yeah. It's tasty. It's amazing. I should send you some photos.
There's a disease in psychiatry called Morgellons disease that I was introduced to when I was in a dermatology rotation, which is a delusional parasitosis that occurs in a small subset of patients who bring in what appear to be skin-borne parasites that they've plucked off their skin that they believe are infecting them and invading their body. And whenever these specimens are examined under a microscope or in a lab, they turn out to be nylon fibers or cotton, some kind of debris. And these people have, and I don't know if it's necessarily conscious, but they have often pushed these fibers into their skin, either unwittingly or intentionally. I don't think it's malingering. I think that it actually is a psychotic disorder, because they need to find some support medically for an unmet emotional need. And this is known. I did a presentation on it. It's called Morgellons disease. It's delusional parasitosis. So I always think about that when I hear about these internal parasite cleanses. And that's why I asked the question about the labs, because I'm not challenging the existence of parasites inside the body and the intestinal tract at all. But I'm very curious to know, of those people who make these cleanses and then post videos and they show all this weird stuff, you know, in their toilet.
Yeah.
How much of that is really parasites and how much of that is their own, to put it, you know, bluntly, their own insanity? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm curious.
Yeah. And that's why I said that there, when people do parasite cleanses, right, like depending on the herbs, you have consistent, and I would say this, that like the mimosa, for example, a lot of people will go on that and they'll be pooping out stuff and stringy things. And that's just the normal nature of what that herb does. It's a very sticky herb, and it's designed to grab on the things and pull it out. So some of that could be just intestinal debris, old poop in there that's just been stuck. Somebody might have terrible peristalsis, right? Like Jeff, you mentioned some people with MTHFR, right? With they have methylation issues, they might have gut motility problems. If they're in sympathetic dominance, they might have gut motility problems. If they have like, and even if they have parasite infections, like one of those, like nematode larvae can secrete enzymes to stop peristalsis. So when people have constipation and they have just toxic bowels and things stuck in there, yeah, you could be just sloughing off some of that lining. So there's that too, because I've had people where they would take a bunch of, you know, anti-parasitic herbs, and the stuff that, you know, their poop is totally fine. and they'll actually go and fish for it. And they're like, my wife did this and she's pooping out all these strings and worms and weird gnarly looking things. And then I'm doing it. And I'm doing twice as much as she is and nothing's coming out of me and I don't react the same way. So there are nuances with this. That's why I said, does everybody have parasites? No, I don't think everybody needs to jump on a parasite cleanse. But like you said, Jeff, we eat sushi, right? People eat sushi. And if we look at sushi culture and raw fish, that's one of the most, if we look at some of the vector data on fish and raw fish, it will
especially make, poke. Stay away from poke. God.
If you just look, I don't look at those because I love sushi and I love poke. So I can't look at that, right? I'm in denial there. But I know because I tell people, you like sushi? Oh yeah, that's why.
Well, I think that's why the Japanese drink a lot of sake, because I think it kills the parasites.
Is that what we're advising now?
Yeah, I don't think that's actually a thing, but I'm going to believe it. And there, right. Mark, there's got to be a psychiatric word for fear of parasites, because I think I have that right now.
There's got to be, you know,
parasitophobia. Well, don't you know that's why the worm in the tequila bottle is always dead? It's the alcohol.
Exactly. And speaking
there you
of
go.
It is one of the least harmful alcohols if you're going to drink. Right. So, Calvin, where do people find you if they want to follow you on social media or come to your practice? I know you're in Costa Mesa, which is in Orange County in Southern California. How can they find you?
So they can find me on social, on Instagram. Dr. Calvin Ng is spelled NG. And they can follow me on my website. I write blogs about parasites too. I write blogs about a lot of different topics, drcalvining.com. We're in Orange County, right by John Wayne Airport. So not too far. People fly in and yeah, that's where they can find us.
Well, awesome. Listen, we've been going almost 40 minutes now. We appreciate you coming on Informed Dissent. I look forward to meeting up with you and learning more about your practice and hopefully sharing some patients.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, and let's do this again soon.
Awesome. We'll do.
All right.
You've been listening to Informed Dissent with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist. Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics.